Hi, welcome to Living on the Third River. In this podcast, we walk through all the details in how to find a purpose and meaningful life, how to identify roadblocks that might be limiting you and your health issues, and all the things surrounding what holistic health looks like. So when we start to navigate down our own health journey, I think a lot of times it's really easy to get stuck, not knowing where to begin, not knowing what do we need to do first, what are all the things we want to or need to address. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today to maybe help you figure out where to start and what does that look like. So as I've had my health journey over the past 10 years, it's been a journey, to say the least. Steps forward, many steps back, learning a lot about myself. And I can even say now 10 years in that I didn't realize the impact that we have on ourselves and how we really get in our own way. A better way to kind of understand this is just that we have aspects where we self-sabotage and kind of keep ourselves where we're at, not being able to make change or to move forward. And until you kind of understand aspects of that, sometimes you can't see those changes or see those improvements. And so part of it is, for me, I see it as almost like an onion. You peel back different layers to maybe learn about yourself and understand, you know, how much sleep do I need or what helps me feel confident or do well or so on. And so we really can't make an impact on ourselves and move forward with change until we start to learn more about ourselves. And so to begin that journey, I think one aspect for one is just to be aware of that, and two, to start understanding the role that our thoughts and our emotions have on our behaviors and our life. Some of you may have heard an aspect of how this plays a role, but if I break it down, I think it makes it much more tangible and easy to grasp and understand how this can impact us. So we often are a product of our own environment, or of our genetics, our environment, kind of external influences, beliefs, experiences, those types of things. So we start out as a baby, which we have no active role in kind of staying alive at that point. We're really vulnerable and relying on everybody else around us to get us to the point to where we can start to make those choices ourselves and be more of that active participant. But understanding that these belief systems and ideas and influences do impact our thinking, our emotions, and our behaviors. And if we're not careful, we begin to continue with these same thoughts, behaviors, actions, and emotions that just keep going on repeat. And this isn't necessarily bad, but you have to be aware of that so you can make changes that maybe aren't serving you well. So another way to kind of understand this is that the way that our body works, our brain is a very important factor, obviously. That's what separates us from other animals in the world, that we have a larger brain, the capacity to make, you know, decisions and critical thinking and so on. But one aspect of that might negatively affect us is our body wants to turn as much of our processes and behaviors and thoughts and other things into a subconscious behavior. So it wants to be automatic so that it'll just do it and we don't have to put a lot of attention or awareness on it, kind of that conscious aspect that we can kind of just do that. So some of that's how you get dressed, brushing your teeth, sometimes driving to work, a lot of different things that we don't even pay attention to. Our breathing, our heart, you know, our heart rate and our heart pumping, those are different automatic responses in the body that keep us alive. So it's a good intention of our body and our brain to do that. But what happens is at some point you had some sort of emotion and thought throughout life that created an experience. From that, depending on how often you did it, how repetitive it was, or two, how high the emotion was that related to that, That kind of creates a automatic behavior in the body. The brain will choose to make that more of a subconscious type of response. So again, I said that's great for keeping us alive and so on. But when it's something that may be responding in fear or anxiety or worry or getting really worked up about something or having some past trauma to where now we're kind of living that out again, even though that trauma is not here, so like post-traumatic stress disorder type thing, that does not serve us well because then we are technically living that out day in and day out, and our body responds off of our emotions. So one thing that's very important to understand is that when we have an emotion, the body doesn't know if it's real or not. So I could be watching a movie and seeing a war scene or something that's really suspenseful, and my body physically has increased heart rate. I'm breathing faster and all of that. That's because the emotion that I'm tying to my experience of watching that movie, if I'm empathetic and kind of relating to that, my body thinks as if it's real and it is responding as if it is real. And so understanding that sometimes our bodies get into this cycle and we almost lose control of ourselves, where now our behaviors and our emotions are driving our entire life. So maybe I'm very emotional, and when something doesn't go right, I go down this automatic response, this kind of wiring in our brain that my body says, hey, when this happens, I'm going to respond this way, do this, act this way, or whatever, and go down that pathway. Well, if we're not careful, we will keep ourselves on that path and keep going down that kind of that wiring in our brain, and we don't realize that that is holding us back. So the first step to do that, to kind of take control of that and to learn that and to even just move forward in that, is for one, to be aware of that impact. Two, start to pay attention and become aware of your thoughts. What thoughts do you have? It's very often that we don't really pay attention to them. They're kind of just there and they come in, and then whether it's a good thought, a bad thought, or whatever, that then we kind of lose control and it just goes down that path. But if we're aware of what's there and what thoughts are coming, now we have the ability to maybe choose to change them. Do we want to give energy to that thought or not? And then it allows for us to maybe change that outcome. Another thing that's extremely helpful as you navigate that is start to identifying what changes do you want to make. So for some people, it might be quitting smoking, it might be eating healthy, it might be going to bed at a certain time. We all have different aspirations or goals in our life, and most of the time those will help us to either feel better, be able to do something that we want to do, have better relationships. There's usually some driving factor behind that. And so understanding and being aware of what are those goals and how do you move toward them, and then starting to be aware of what kind of thoughts or emotions maybe you're having, so then you can decide which ones you maybe want to change. And so one aspect is sometimes just writing them down. When something comes in your head to where maybe it's fearful or self-limiting or a lot of doubt, like, oh, you'd never be able to do that, or I'm not good at that, I couldn't do that, or, well, I'm always this way, whatever that looks like, we all have those thoughts that come into our heads. And we can choose right then and there to say, nope, I don't agree with that, or provide the truth of that to say, maybe if I say, I always fail at this, there's no way I'm ever going to succeed, or I'm not going to do well at this because I never have in the past, or so on. A good response might say, and sometimes it's talking to yourself, sometimes it's journaling, sometimes it's more of a meditative type thing to where you're saying that and more kind of prayerful meditation with that. But you want to start to challenge that and put your attention and your energy of what. I mean, when I talk about energy, that just means like it's very exhausting, and truly will take my energy if I give a lot of power and thought to, how I am not succeeding in all of my goals. And so if I do that, I'm just going to start thinking those negative thoughts. It's going to drive my behaviors. It's going to drive my emotions. And I'm just going to sit in that and not get anywhere. And so I want to choose to put my energy, my effort, my focus, my attention on the things that are going to help me. So I can then challenge that in my head and maybe say, no, that's not true. Maybe I haven't been good at that in the past, but I know that if I work on something and I put my best effort forward, I probably will make changes or could succeed or could do well on that. And so it's starting to navigate that. That would be one big step that I would say should hopefully serve you well in your life journey, in your health journey, and as you navigate that going forward. We can't work on something if we don't know that it's there. We don't know that it's a problem. And so I'd say if there's a couple steps, I think first step, take time to self-reflect. How often is it that we ever turn into ourselves and pay attention to how we're doing? How are we feeling? Are our muscles tight? Are we holding our breath? Are we having shallow breathing? Are we really negative about ourselves? Do we put too high of expectations on ourselves? And then also looking at what are the things that we do want? So get a clear picture of what do you want to achieve? For me and Blake with Third River Health, we have a very holistic, very broad view of what health looks like. For us, health is every aspect of your life. Like, are you living a life that's purposeful? Are you enjoying it? Are you happy? Do you have limitations due to health or symptoms or physical problems that prevent you from doing what you want? What goals do you have? And so you don't know that you can move forward to that or even know where you're going to put your attention toward until you start to bring clarity and awareness on that. And then the third step, I think, is just start learning, start the process, find support, and use the people around you and the community to fuel you and push you forward. You want to create an environment and a community that is going to push you. They're going to create accountability. They're going to help you strive to be better. And a lot of times it's very interesting, but you tend to see people that are okay to stay in that comfort zone. They like where life is. They like, they're in that comfort zone. They are happy with where they're at. They don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to do any of that, which is not wrong. That's not bad. But most of the time there is something better. There is growth. There is deeper relationships. There is more you could achieve. There is all of that. And it doesn't need to be excessive goals or so on. But a lot of times we just miss out on really living life to its full potential and really living purposeful and mindful of that. And so for those people, it's common that we see you tend to have groups of people around you, your friends and so on, that kind of match to the level of growth, to the level of kind of investigation or whatever that looks like, that they kind of are similar in that. So as people go on their own self journeys or growth, a lot of times you'll see maybe they might change friend groups or they might change what jobs they're doing, or they might do this. And a lot of times because they need that support, we need that community to help us in that. And that'll look different for everybody. That doesn't mean you need to not have the same friends or so on. But it might be that you stem the interest and you help them make changes for themselves. You're kind of that starting factor for that. So I would say that we were not meant to do life alone. We are meant to be relational. And therefore you need to be mindful of the community that you have around you and use them to help you and not hold you back. And maybe make some choices if you need to, if there's toxic relationships or so on. And I think the hard one too is family. Sometimes family, we feel like, well, that's, we didn't have a choice of who we're with, and therefore we have to, you know, have those. And I have very close family relationships, and I couldn't imagine life without them. But I do know some people that had very disruptive, destructive, and toxic relationships. And the best thing for them was they had to have boundaries. They had to cut some of those ties, and they had to change that. So if that is you and that's in your scenario, then that may be a decision. My goal would be that you can, you know, have redemption in that relationship and heal it and mold it to where you know, you do now have a good relationship, but at times it may look different. But you have to understand all of those external things impact us, and it may change how we live our life, how we feel, how we think, how we behave, and what that looks like.